So I'm Jamie Miller, and my way into this work is from working on the ground in initiatives that were place-based initiatives to prevent chronic disease. So my first work in public health was around asthma prevention and looking at place-based policy and system approaches to preventing asthma in communities. That was with the Community Action to Fight Asthma Initiative in California. I then, for a time, worked in obesity prevention, but again, place-based obesity prevention through the Healthy Eating Active Communities Initiative. And I also worked on the Community Transformation Grants, which was, again, a place-based approach to chronic disease prevention. In each of these efforts, my experience coming from the public health side was that we saw things that needed to be different in communities. And there were many things that we did to try to make those things different, advocacy and pushing for policy change and engaging community and so forth. But we couldn't build things. We couldn't physically make the places different. And so when Doug invited me to work with him at Build Healthy Places Network and I started to learn about this community development stuff, I got very excited because it was an immediate click. These are the folks that can actually do what we wanted to be doing. I have nothing to disclose. And so what I'm going to do is share three examples of this kind of work. For the past year and a half or so, I've been working on a set of case studies, looking in depth at some of the kinds of projects that connect community development and health. And the three that I'm going to look at are, the three that I'm going to share with you are the Villages of Eastlake in Atlanta, Georgia, the California Hotel in Oakland, and the Community Health and Literacy Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the kind of organizing principle for the cases that we were interested in looking at, and I would say for the projects that we're interested in at the Build Healthy Places Network, is that they bring together or address two or more social determinants of health at once in a given project. So Villages of Eastlake. The Villages of Eastlake is a redevelopment or revitalization project that replaced the Eastlake Meadows public housing complex. And in the 80s and 90s, if you were at the presentation yesterday, Doug said this, mentioned this as well, for a time it was referred to as Little Vietnam, as in a war zone. There was so much violent crime there that was what it was known for. And not only that, it served essentially as a pipeline, for the kids growing up there, as a pipeline straight into the kind of state penal system. On the right is some of what it looks like now. So the developers that undertook this project brought in high-quality mixed-income housing. Very important to this project was a cradle-to-college education pipeline that involved building a charter school, and they also included an early childhood education center. So this is the charter, Drew Charter School. Interestingly,
back up to that just for a second. This is a form of public housing, right? And still predominantly very, very low-income community.
Yeah. It's really kind of mind-blowing what was accomplished here. An interesting facet of this project is that there was a nearby golf course, private golf course, that was sort of run down, and the developer saw this as an opportunity and renovated the golf course, got corporate, sold corporate memberships to it, started hosting an annual golf tournament there. And that golf course produces income that pours into the neighborhood to help support programming and services, including some of the education pieces. They also built a public golf course, and the public golf course is part of what anchors the youth development work. So they have a program called the First Tee Program, and it's also a place that that anchors a lot of the community activities and events. The East Lake Foundation was formed early on in this project, and it serves as what has come in the field to be called a community quarterback. So it really orchestrates pulling together financing and bringing in partners and promoting, you know, zoning changes or policy issues that need to be addressed to get the project built, and it still serves in that role today. This was a $153 million project. There were a number of different funding sources for the different components of the project, and that funding was kind of brought together bit by bit. So it didn't they didn't pull together $153 million all at once. They kind of took the project in chunks. The reason I wanted to start with East Lake is that it's been around long enough that there are some real measured outcomes to share about it. The other two projects I'm going to talk about are much newer. So violent crime decreased by 95%. The number of residents on welfare dropped to just 5%, and a number of folks have jobs now. The educational outcomes are just over the moon. This is one of the top schools in the Atlanta school system now, and as Doug mentioned, these are still students who are over 60% free and reduced lunch. And then a study was done in 2007, and I believe that was before they had completed the high school component of the charter school. And at that point, the improved educational outcomes were projected to be likely to produce an added $165,000 per child in lifetime earnings. So in this project, health was not part of the vision at the outset, but as you can see, they address so many social determinants of health: housing, education, safety, a walkable neighborhood with amazing physical activity amenities. There's healthy food was addressed with a grocery store and an urban farm, jobs, and the income stream to support the programming and services, and so on. They are talking about health now at East Lake. So the next project I want to look at is the California Hotel in Oakland, California. This was historically a very important building, the hotel, when it was a hotel. It was one of the few places that African Americans could stay in the Bay Area in the 50s. And so many luminary jazz musicians and other performers stayed at the California Hotel while performing in the Bay Area. It then kind of fell into disrepair. It was turned into single room occupancy housing. That in turn was not maintained well, and the city of Oakland was going to tear it down. But a handful of low-income, disabled, and elderly residents in the building refused to leave. They just, you know, they took a stand. And eventually, Oakland decided to not tear it down and sought a developer to purchase the building. Now, the California Hotel, the California Hotel is located in West Oakland. And West Oakland, like many cities, has kind of appalling disparities in life expectancy. And the California Hotel is right there. So in one of the areas with the lowest life expectancy in the city. What it's become now is permanent supportive housing. The single rooms were turned into full-fledged apartments. About 80% of the people living there receive some sort of supportive services. There's a gorgeous community garden out back run by a food access group called People's Grocery. They converted about a third of the parking lot into a 9,000 square foot garden. It has an outdoor kitchen. It's a gathering spot not just for residents of the hotel, but also for residents from the neighborhood at large. And they're working on cultivating seniors as leaders, like tapping into sort of the wisdom, the energy, the time that seniors have to become advocates for improvements in the neighborhood that the seniors would like to see. And some of the things they're working on are safety and transportation. And there's blight reduction work and supporting local businesses as well. And that's part of the broader neighborhood work that the group is doing. So again, here we have a very complex financing structure to do the renovations on the hotel, ranging from city and county funding to tax credits. There were historic credits because it was a historic building. And then on top of, so this is the financing to do the construction, and then the developer also had to make sure that there would be financing to continue, or funding to continue to support the permanent services. So East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation is the developer that did this project. And whereas the Eastlake Foundation was not originally thinking about health, at this point, Ebaldse has actually written health into its strategic plan. So this is a community development corporation, but they've written health into their strategic plan. They also recognize that changing one building is not enough, and so they have a kind of a neighborhood lens on their work. And because of that, they founded the San Pablo Avenue Revitalization Collaborative, or the SPARC Collaborative, that's going to take a collective impact approach to working in the neighborhood. So the last project I want to share with you is not open yet, which is why we have a drawing here rather than a picture. And it's the Community Health and Literacy Center. I always have trouble with that, in South Philadelphia. And this is actually, this is being built by a partnership between Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the City of Philadelphia. It started as a real estate deal. Children's Hospital had a clinic in South Philadelphia, and they wanted to expand, but they couldn't find a piece of property to do it on. The city had a piece of property that had on it a health center, a recreation center, and a branch of the library, all of them buildings from the 70s that were outdated and in need of serious renovation. So the hospital folks approached the city and said, why don't we partner? You've got land, we've got money, or the capacity to get money. And so they decided to work together on this. The end result will be co-located facilities that include the Children's Hospital Pediatric Clinic, a full-service health center run by the city health department, a recreation center, and a branch of the library. This was a difficult project. It was complex. These are two large entities, large complex entities. CHOP is a regional hospital system, and the city has multiple departments, many of which had to be involved. And part of what kept them going through the arduous process of hammering out how they were going to work together and what this was going to look like was this vision for a fabulous new facility. The financing was a bit simpler. Interestingly, the loans were able to secure the loans in part because Children's Hospital committed to repay the loans out of their own operating revenue. However, they will be able to report some of the depreciation as community benefit. So initially it was just a real estate deal and just a fabulous new building. As they went through the design process and the many, many, many meetings to get to the end result, they started thinking about how they could integrate programming. And as Peter Grohlman from Children's Hospital said, that's when it became really exciting. So some of the things that they're talking about doing and planning to do is thinking about literacy for patients waiting in the health center waiting rooms. The health center and the pediatric clinic will refer people to the library for some of the programming that's happening there. The rec center is going to incorporate programming that will address the recommendations that the clinics are making to patients and families about physical activity. Reading circles from the library will be held in the rec center. And the library has agreed to have a health librarian on staff in order to help community members find information that they want to have about their health. So this project will open in March of next year. I hope to go visit because it sounds really amazing. We have six other case studies coming out. If you're interested in reading about these three or about any of the others, you can just visit our website at the buildhealthyplaces.org network. Thank you.
Super, and I want to point out that the work that Jenny's been doing is important because one of the things we've heard early on, I think Susan and Matt would both agree with this, is just doing a normal investment in a low-income community, the way this financing is structured can be incredibly complicated and overwhelming, frankly. And so to do it with multiple focuses and getting money from, say, grocery store funding and affordable housing funding simultaneously really becomes overwhelming. And so part of the goal of her work is to really find examples, and there aren't that many, that are intentionally weaving together the funds and just to, A, show that it can be done, and B, hopefully show that there are things we can learn from that so that we, especially policymakers, practitioners, but also policymakers, can begin to maneuver their way through that more easily.